Hi guys, I'm Danny, producer and artist for Rebrand. Mort insisted on writing me the script for the intro. Welcome to a truly, a fundamental episode of Rebrand. Your hot celeb hosts, Mortley, this is something he insists I call them, Mortley, a combination of Mort and Ashley. If I forget, he yells, "We're the new Bennifer!" Anyway, Mortley take questions from their devoted listeners for an informative and hilarious episode where they talk anxiety, junior high, and for some reason, Scotland. Also, Patreon, etc., etc. Enjoy!
Rebrand! Ding! Welcome to Rebrand, a podcast where we inject new life into titled brands, whether they be snack foods, celebrities, or religious institutions. Mm. I'm Ashley Boach.
And I'm Mort Boke.
And today we're doing something a little different.
This episode's going to be a little bit different.
It's going to be a little kooky.
Prepare yourselves for a bit of a ride. strap the fuck in. This one's going off, y'all.
It's going crazy.
We're going to be popping right the F off.
Really, we're just doing a Q&A.
Yeah, we're doing a Q&A. It's pretty simple.
It's not going to be that crazy, actually. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, although who knows?
We're
going to be the fans on the Discord, which we have a Patreon. All these people are Patreon members. That's how they've gotten on the Discord to ask us questions.
The kookiness really depends on the Qs that we A.
Totally. And you know? I'm going to try and bring a little wackiness to the A's. We'll see.
Oh, that's so uncommon for you, dear.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all depends on what's your wacky meter at, honey, do you think?
My wacky meter, okay, so if we're going, one is screwball and 10 is like Roger Rabbit.
I would say five is screwball.
Five is screwball. One is on trial for murder. Five is screwball.
Yep.
Ten is Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah, sure.
I'm like a six.
Hey, that's pretty wacky.
A little above screwball.
That's cool. Nice. Yeah. I'm feeling around six probably also, okay. But I often as the show goes on.
We get kookier.
I feel like my wacky meter kind of goes up.
We'll keep tracking it.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Track the whack, yeah, as I like to say.
Yeah, let's check in on the whack, how wacky we're getting.
Okay, our wonderful, she does so many things. How do you introduce Danny?
Oh, yeah, we're saying
Danny?
Producer, artist, podcast, friend, connoisseur.
Cat mother.
Wife. Yeah. Beloved daughter. Former funeral home employee.
I was, yeah.
British person, citizen.
Deeply British.
Deeply British. That's the important thing.
British in the way that cartoons are silly. Give it up for Danny Wright, everybody.
Give it up for Danny Wright, everybody.
The beating heart of Rebrand.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what that means, but okay.
It means we'd be dead without you, Danny.
That's right. Long dead.
Our marriage would end.
No, I cannot hold that responsibility, Ashley.
Oh, you do.
No.
You do and you must.
It's too late. That's why you can't croak. Because
we'll get immediately divorced.
Our marriage and our lives are in your hands.
That's
currently.
True. You have so much power.
No.
Because divorce, immediately we both pass.
Wow.
We get divorced and then we pass, yeah, in that order.
In that order. Divorce first, then...
Yeah.
I thought the other way around might be cheaper, but okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and this... Yeah, oh boy, in America.
In this economy.
2025. You want to kick the bucket first.
Yeah. Right.
I think we just got up to a 7.
Yeah, even
on the whack. What did I say I was gonna do?
Track the whack.
I'm tracking the whack.
Yeah.
We're at a 7.
Keeping track of the wacky.
Do you guys wanna tell the guys what we're doing?
The Discord?
Yeah.
Our good friends on the Discord.
Yeah, we're taking questions, man. Thanks for being here. We really appreciate you guys supporting the show and listening. We're very grateful to have people come in and participate.
It's yes. Awesome. We'll be A-ing your Qs.
Yeah.
In the Q&A of this here podcast.
Yeah. Bring hot, fun questions, but don't get too personal on the cues. You know what I mean? Keep it chill.
Oh, we're keeping it chill today.
Life is a podcast. I want to podcast all afternoon.
All night long. Well, it's night for me, so.
We're gonna
right, so Octavia asks, I'm working on a mental health RPG to help my daughter through a mental health crisis. I'm using Fear and Courage for stats and mental health, queens she can earn. I'm trying to come up with cool characters to help her work through real-life social anxiety. Any ideas for characters?
Oh My God.
Whoa. Okay. This question needs to be the whole podcast. We got to do 45 minutes.
A mental health RPG.
Well, yeah. First of all,
wow,
well,
that's
and
an incredible idea.
I'm sorry to hear about your daughter's mental health crisis. Is it anxiety related exclusively? Are there more? Are there like further complications? Sorry to hear about that.
That's, so say we all about the mental health crisis. Though,
that
by the
stuff's
way.
Really hard.
That is an incredible. What a beautiful. Instinct.
Yeah. I feel that you shared that instinct, honey. Ashley often, I think, her desires to create out of a wish to be of service to people.
That's true. That's why, man, I'm happy you're here. It's a comedy mental health show available for free on YouTube right now. You can watch it.
YouTube.com.
YouTube.com.
YouTube. She said, yes, there's more, but it's based on social anxiety.
It's based on social. Okay. So four characters. And are these, okay, sorry, so many questions. Are these the player characters or are these NPC that you want her to interact with during the RPG?
NPCs to interact with.
NPCs to interact with. Okay. Ooh, okay, great. So, honey, do you understand anything we just said?
No, but I got some characters.
Oh, great. Go for it.
Yeah. I think a guy named Mr. Chill. He's like real mellow. He's always in sunglasses. He always just had a massage and he's like yawning. So he's like, and he feels mellow in all circumstances. So he's like the opposite of social anxiety.
So he's a model. He's modeling possibly what it could be like to not have social anxiety.
He's perpetually grounded to show us that it is possible to feel calm in all scenarios.
Interesting. Okay, mm-hmm. Mr. Chill.
He's a North Star. Mr. Chill. Yeah.
I'm imagining, do you remember those French cartoons where every character is a circle, but like the only differentiation is one has a hat, one has a mustache? Do you know what I'm talking about, Danny?
I didn't think that was French. I thought that with the ones that are all shapes, like one's a square and one's a...
Yeah.
That's like Mr. Men.
What was that?
You're not thinking of Mr. Men?
Mr. Men is a thing, but maybe you're talking about something else. Yes.
Maybe I'm talking about Mr. Men.
Where it's like Miss Grumpy and like, yeah.
Yeah, that's Mr. Men.
Yeah, Mr. Men. Okay, great.
Isn't that French originally? Am I making that up? Yes, Mr. Man. Yeah.
It feels French. I don't know what it
is. Oh, it's British.
I grew up with it.
It's British.
It's British.
Well,
like hello,
well, governor, isn't it British? Let's go tea, etc.
Okay, so
I used to have a mug that says I was Little Miss Bossy when I was younger. I liked Mr. Man.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they're totally inspired and great. So that's what you're picturing.
That's what I'm picturing, because Mr. Chill.
Yeah, Mr. Chill.
There is a Mr. Snow, actually, in Mr. Men.
But he's a cocaine addict.
So we won't do him.
Not gonna use
so him. Mr. Chill, I imagine... Okay, so you're saying he has sunglasses.
Yeah, he's super mellow,
What shape do we think Mr. Chill is?
I think he's like a... his whole body is a peace sign, if he has to be a shape.
He's a peace sign, a perpetual peace sign.
Yeah, with like sunglasses on.
Oh, so there's like one glass here and one glass here?
Mm-hmm.
Do you say that for the... No, you say lens, but I'm saying glass.
Sure, I have a glass.
Glasses.
Mm-hmm.
They combine to make glasses.
Yep, so that's one.
Okay, so that's Mr. Chill. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a character that does have social anxiety.
Yes, Francine Freaked Out. Mm. Last name Freaked Out.
Hyphenated or...
Yeah, hyphenated.
Okay, so Francine Freaked Out. I would say... She should have pretty severe social anxiety because then your daughter could possibly talk to her, empathize with her, and then maybe also give her advice that she could be giving herself in the process of talking to Francine Freaked Out.
That's absolutely right.
Right?
Ooh. Yeah, completely.
This is maybe controversial.
Okay.
I sort of wonder if there should be an NPC... that is a little bit of a bully that sort of is the personification of what one fears when one imagines having a social interaction that goes wrong, both to show that you can survive a situation like that and be okay, and also maybe as part of the storyline, you learn about that person, discover they have their own insecurities and their own problems, humanizes them, makes them less scary.
Great. I love it. I don't find that to be controversial personally. Depending on the level of bullying that they're doing.
I don't know bullying. It's like, well, what do we fear when we fear a social
No, I think that's fair. Because there are people who set off your social anxiety shit because they can be mean. And I think that should be represented.
Or like, you know, the other day we were talking about the toxic chill girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, why are you being so loud?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that kind of thing.
She's a bully. She's like
a little bit of a bully. She's a social bully.
I think there should also be a Mrs. Rage And I think she represents the anger that we experience when we feel bullied. And I think we show her strength. Mrs. Rage is...
We show Mrs. Rage absolutely murder toxic chill girl is what you're saying.
Here's the thing. I think Mrs. Rage, I don't know about murders, but like...
I'm saying murders.
Right, right. So I'm suggesting maybe not an actual killing in the children's...
Getting bored.
Right.
Getting disinterested.
Okay, what if she has big ass tits? Does that help?
It doesn't hurt.
doesn't hurt. But I think there needs to be a way to exemplify, like, anger is a natural response to these things. And I think a lot of what anxiety happens is when we're not allowed to experience our anger, which does not mean, like, splatter your anger all over everybody else. But I think we're so tasked to never be outwardly angry that it goes inside. And then we don't feel like we're capable of protecting ourselves, which is where a lot of anxiety comes from.
So maybe a scenario would be we have an interaction with toxic chill girl.
Mm-hmm.
She says something that makes us feel bad, but we don't stand up for ourselves. Then Mrs. Rage teaches us that you could say something in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like if toxic chill girl is like, you're being so loud right now.
Right.
That the player character could then be like, that's such a strange thing to say.
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Yeah, yeah, totally. That makes me feel lame. That makes me, whatever. Or like, or there's
That hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Octavia does say her daughter is 12 and just started middle school this year.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, man. So,
my condolences.
She just started middle school.
It's the nightmare years.
I'm not saying she should show her daughter Big Mouth, a filthy American animated television show. But what I do love about Big Mouth is that it in a way, it reflects the experience of puberty in a way that I, as a dude who loved funny things, would have really appreciated the normalization of how horrible that feels. Like, she's not, I don't know if this helps, but she's very, very, very much not alone. I felt so alone.
Yeah.
And it felt like this period was never going to end, and it absolutely ends.
That's actually, I think that's a good recommendation. I mean, you should watch, it's so filthy. So you should maybe watch it first to make sure that you're okay with it. But I've heard multiple adults say, I wish I had this when I was going through puberty.
Right.
I wish I had this show when I was growing up.
It's so filthy.
It's so filthy.
Cannot iterate that.
Oh,
enough.
God, it's filthy.
But it is.
It's very...
It examines how, like, weird and gross and horny you are. Sorry.
How confusing social interactions are, how confusing your body changing is.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, man. So I think that's the thing, too, is, like, for me, I was just so... And still, honestly, still dealing with the ramifications of this today, but in a beautiful way, I think, which is my sensitivity to people being mean to me was like off the scale at that point because I felt so like strange and new and alone, and I didn't know how to talk about it.
You know something, because I'm trying to think, like, what is the real fear behind social anxiety? Like, when I imagine, because I get social anxiety sometimes, not as bad as I used to, but I often like will avoid, or parties can sometimes stress me out, or large groups of people, because I feel like, what is it now? I guess it's that I feel like I have to do a lot of, I feel a responsibility to do emotional labor, or I will feel kind of small or invisible, maybe, is part of it. Like, you know, if you go to a party, you don't know a lot of people, then you either have to, like, take a risk and make conversation with people you don't know very well.
Yep.
Which for me...
does feel kind of like the first day of junior high, like a smaller version of that.
Yeah. And for me, I feel, which we talked about in the small talk episode, I feel a responsibility to keep conversations going and stuff like that.
Yes, totally.
So I guess for me, it's like being worried of being exhausted after. Like, is this really making me examine what my social anxiety is? It's like I'm worried about going to a party and feeling scared of conversation, feeling like it's pulling teeth or something.
Yes, that is your hell on earth.
That's my hell on earth. But I'm kind of like, what? Okay, so then I don't have to. It's interesting. I'm kind of like, why is that scary? But I have like an anxious reaction when I think about it.
Yep.
But I think it's because I have this thing of like, oh, well, if I don't keep the conversation going, or I don't keep people entertained or feeling seen or whatever, then they won't like me.
Yep.
And then that means, and then if you take that all the way back, you know, you do that thing of like, okay, so what does that mean? Well, then I'll be alone. So what does that mean? Da-da-da-da. It goes all the way back to I'll die.
It's always I'll die. It's usually I'll pass away broken, unhoused. Usually it's like the great fear. Yeah. And I think that's how this stuff works, is a lot of times it is like a boogeyman where if you start to look at it directly in the eyes, it starts to dissipate a little bit, which is interesting because you have to, and this is very adult. I'm not saying this is like for a 12-year-old to understand, but for me, that part of you has to die away or become atrophied. And that part, like any other aspect, wants to live. So there is like a death and a grieving around losing a part of you that, even if it's a part of you that causes a lot of pain, or like I'm saying with the anger thing, explaining to that part that like, hey, I love you. You're not necessary all the time. Like every situation does not require a hammer. There's very few situations that do. There's very few situations that require actual anxiety. Almost none in your real life. Now, unlike junior high, which is, she's correct. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, so, and I'm the opposite of a fucking psychiatrist, so ignore this, obviously, if you want. But I do think for Octavia also, how is your anxiety level?
Octavia.
Because I really, really believe that we are, like it or not, we are modeling energy and behavior for our children. So if a parent is capable of allowing challenging things to happen without needing to control them, then that can really benefit a child in understanding that there's a level of safety that one can experience in the world.
Here's what I think you should do for the campaign. There is a character that is completely silent, and to complete the task, you have to sit with them in comfortable silence for however long. And then you murder the toxic chill girl.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the campaign.
She gets beheaded.
You put her head on a stick, you parade it through the town square.
Yeah, yeah. Kill her with your car, whatever. Yeah. You just gave me an idea, interestingly, with the silence character, which made me think, I thought in my head, should his name be Mr. Bean? And then I thought maybe it should be Mrs. Bean. And then I thought there should be an entire show called Mrs. Bean, which is just what Mr. Bean's wife is doing while he's like has his head stuck in a turkey. Where she's like, what the fuck? Just pull it off.
I want it to be a family drama.
Just pull it
off.
They
have
your
a
head.
Very sick child at home.
Yeah.
He's never there.
Right. And they can't get a medical diagnosis.
No.
Yeah.
She's basically a single mother.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every so often he comes in the room.
Yep.
He comes home for brief moments of time.
Puts his foot in a waste paper basket, slips, falls down, makes a crazy face, and then like leaves and drives his little tiny car somewhere.
Yeah. But then you stay with her as she's sorting through bills, medical bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rent.
Yep.
Rent
she,
bills.
She has a torrid affair.
Yeah. With Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a very serious, dramatic, and like smoking hot Alan Partridge. He's a different man in this world. Any, how does Octavia feel about those responses?
Octavia.
Thank you.
Octavia. How are we feeling about those responses?
Octavia.
Octavia. She's there. She's typing. I like it.
Nice.
Thanks, Danny.
That's okay. I got you. You said good. Follows what I'm working towards.
Follows She's what you're working towards. About it.
Okay.
I really hope that you were planning on having a brutal murder of a middle schooler
yeah,
in your campaign already.
And I hope it involved Mr. Yeah. Bean.
Okay, why what's not? Up now?
Yeah, what now, D? D nice.
Tracking the whack, I think we've gotten a lot closer to
I'm at like a 3 now. That was it brought back it, it I was worried about Octavia's daughter. It brought me back to junior high. This brings the wacky down to like a 2 for me.
Yeah, the whack track. Yeah.
Although I got in there with the Mr. Bean stuff.
Yeah, we brought it back up. We're at like a 3 now, I think.
Yeah, we're like a 3 or 4, which is okay. I'm down for a level 3 wacky episode.
Yeah, what's a 3, do we think? I feel like a 3 level wacky is like an uncle that's kind of hungover at a kid's birthday party. It's like trying to show up for his niece.
Yeah, that's good.
But he had a pretty rough night the night before.
Yeah. You think that's higher? Oh, well, he had a rough night. So
he
that's
had a rough
keeping
night.
Him
so
lower.
His energy's low, but he's like trying to be like, you know.
I think it's that. You ever see a banana peel on the street and you're like, it'd be kind of funny if I like slipped on that.
Yeah, but you don't.
You don't? That's like a 3 for me.
You think
that's
you like could, though, actually slip on a banana peel?
You can. I know someone that did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, sorry.
But I'm saying, like, you know, like, I'll have that thought. Like, it'd be funny if somebody was watching and they saw me slipping this. Like, I have a silly thought, but I don't follow the mm-hmm. thought. It's like a three. Mm. I don't have the energy to fucking prank somebody.
Yeah. Fall Pratt.
Yeah.
Ninth grade taco, a.k.a. William, asks, so what are your thoughts on Scotland? Be warned, I will judge you on your answer.
Our thoughts on Scotland?
Yeah, you're going to have to get more
specific.
I think
he's from Scotland.
Ah. Yeah,
a bit more specific.
I'm Scottish.
You're Scotch-Irish?
I'm Scotch-Irish. I'm part, uh-huh. I'm part Scottish.
I've never been. I desperately want to go.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I from pictures, it seems absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I, for some fucking reason, when I was living in Seattle, I was working at Valve and I was commuting like an hour each way. And I decided that I would try to do a, like, learn how to have a Scottish accent. So
yes.
I listened to a random Scottish woman reading random books.
Yeah.
And I would repeat her, what she said back. I don't know if I still have it in me, but for some reason I was like, I have to have a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
It's
a beautiful and also troubling accent.
I love it.
I love it too. I think it's gorgeous. It sounds like poetry and it also sounds like a very drunk man screaming. Like somehow both to
yeah.
me. Which is probably, there's probably some like generational memory there. That
sure,
is like,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think Scotland's fucking cool as hell. I'm sort of very interested in, not to equate the two, but pre-colonialization spirituality of like Ireland and Scotland. I want to learn more about that. I feel like that's where my people probably before the Brits came along. I'm also a little British, full disclosure. I know. Apparently somebody went to Wales and said that everyone looked exactly like me. That's what they said. So I think it's...
You probably got some Welsh in
you. You've told me that before.
I'm definitely Welsh. And I feel like maybe that's what I look like. I don't know.
This is maybe a very ignorant question. Was Scotland also colonized by the Brits?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know that. I knew yeah. Ireland was, but.
Yeah.
Your people, Danny.
My people.
They're just every.
You can't
or fucking throw a stone without getting to a British colony, can you?
Yeah. Well, it's good you guys give us something to fight against.
Yeah.
If you want to know a really embarrassing fact about me and
sure.
America. So before you're not taught American history in the UK.
Sure,
at all,
why would you be?
Really?
Yeah.
Exactly. Before I watched Hamilton, I thought the Boston Tea Party was just a tea party that went horrifically wrong.
That's a very British thing to think.
Yeah.
I was very shocked. I told my American friend this and she found it hilarious. But, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that is good.
Because it begs the question of what would make a tea party go horrifically wrong.
Yeah, how
well, that's
bad?
What I used to think. But as a British
right.
person, I'd find it entirely acceptable that a tea party could go that wrong to make history.
Right. Like, right. That's, I imagine the episode of The Bear where you see
the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah, where they see the family origin, but uh-huh. it's more scalding hot tea being thrown at each other.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hachi machi.
I'm going to be really bad at pronouncing things, so... Chat, tell me off, like, if I'm not. But is it Vaus? I'm going to say Vaus. If it's wrong, you can let me know. You were living in Seattle for a time?
Yes. I lived in Seattle for 6 months in the year of our Lord, 2012. I was working at Valve. I was hired to write... So basically, I met Eric Wolpaw and Jay Pinkerton, who gaming fans will know as the writers of Portal 2. And they were working on Team Fortress 2 at the time. And the plan or the goal was to have a Team Fortress 2 like show. I don't even know if it was something they were just going to release on Steam or whatever. Anyway, they were like planning on having some sort of show about the Team Fortress 2 characters. And they were doing a short where Miss Pauling was going to be voiced for the first time. And so I ended up talking to them about that short and voicing Miss Pauling. And they were like, this was fun. You should come up and work at Valve and while we make the Team Fortress show. And I was like, awesome. Sounds great. So I moved to Seattle and I got there and they were like, we're not doing the show anymore.
Yipe. Like, sorry about you.
Do you want to kind of write comics and item descriptions for the store for 6 months? And I was like, sure.
You tried to help, I guess.
Yeah, so I did that for 6 months. Collected a paycheck, went home.
I lived in Seattle in 2012, trying to get the grunge scene to reemerge in my much maligned grunge band, Nirvana 2.
You wanna give us a song?
Yeah.
Please do.
We were Nirvana, but we're newer. R.I.P. Kurt, we're a different band. People didn't like it. People did not like it. Yeah, I had my flannel going and my ripped jeans and stuff. Yeah.
R.I.P. Kurt, we're a different band.
It was a deeply felt tribute in a way.
Sure.
But we weren't a tribute act. We were Nirvana 2. So we had an album called Bleach 2. We had Nevermind 2.
Right. Yeah.
And a lot of the songs we just felt obligated to reiterate, like, we're not Nirvana. We're a new band.
Yeah.
Nirvana 2.
Right. Nirvana 2.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was in the band?
It was Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't know how we got him, but he was playing bass.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris Novoselic's brother, Billy Novoselic.
That's crazy that you were trying to revitalize the grunge scene in Seattle at the same time we never met.
I know. It's nuts. It would have been, had you come to one of our shows. Thank God you didn't. Because again, people were confused.
Yeah, and really upset, I bet.
Yeah, pretty frustrated.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
I think I moved to London in 2012. Yeah, I did. I moved to London in 2012.
How was that?
Big year.
It was good. I went to uni in London and then I did funeral care there. So I stayed there for like 5 years.
University.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But I remember our university, I didn't have to do the entrance interview because it was the year of the Olympics. And then our halls, we rented out to the American Olympians, and they trashed them.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But
USA, USA.
But they did give us like a $20 million gym. Like, so it's, you know, that's where your tax money was going in 2012, paying for a gym in East London, just letting you know.
Yeah. That's America, rich and rude.
Rich and rude, baby.
Danny, quick question. Why the study of funeral
care?
I didn't study funeral care. So I did, my degree was in photography with media studies. And then I needed a job straight after uni. And I just happened to find a funeral care job. And I was a funeral arranger in East London.
Huh.
Many strange stories and facts. And it was my favorite job I ever did. Like, honestly, it was so fulfilling.
I bet. Really?
Yeah,
I bet, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Wow. Did it feel like you were doing something worthwhile while you were doing it? Is that like...
Yeah, and I think that, like, the thing with that is that you could do the smallest thing and make it mean something. Like... Mm. I remember we'd have, when you came into arrange a funeral, as part of it, we'd ask you questions about the deceased and, you know, what they were like. And I remember one family said that the last time they saw their mum, they brought them daffodils in to, you know, visit and everything, and that her mum liked the daffodils. And then when I was walking to work the next day, I found daffodils, which were like £1. So I bought some daffodils and put them in the viewing room with her mum. And like that one tiny little gesture meant so much to her. And like the appreciation of silly little things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's really lovely, Danny.
It really is kind of amazing when people are in a crisis, like was talked about before, the opportunity to do something meaningful like grows dramatically. Like
it's amazing that you were doing that and now you're drawing fat butts for us.
Yeah.
I do. Now I draw fat butts for you in my evening.
Thick butts.
Work a big girl job during the day and then draw butts in the evening.
We get enough people on this Patreon, maybe you'll be able to quit that big girl job.
Work in the daytime, butts in the evening.
The butt art is one of like the very highly
I mean, she's got a thick tushy, of course.
She's got a fit, taut tush.
Yeah.
I made sure to make it extra thick just for you guys. Should I be upset about a British Cake Off? Like... Should I be offended?
I don't think so. I mean, you're.
I mean, it's up to you.
It's up to you. Yeah.
I'm not saying it. I don't lump you in with the rest of the Brits, Danny.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Am I special? Oh, here's a question before I forget. I promised my husband I would ask a question to you guys. Because since the last episode, I've been going around singing. What is it you call it? More stim singing?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Which is kind of where you just sort of sing the same three notes over and over and over. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing since the last episode record. Mm-hmm. So he wants to know, what is your go-to karaoke song?
Ah.
Okay.
So, you have one, for sure.
Well, sure. I was just talking about this. My friend Andy and I did Rubber Band Man by T.I. We were huge T.I. fans at the time. And that song has the N-word in it 40 times.
Uh-oh.
And so we, every time, said the word Richard instead, because my friend Andy's white. So we said Richard instead of the N-word, and we crushed. And these two black women, they loved us. Like, it was, I'm not going to say the greatest night of my life, but it, huge laughs. You got to really nail a rap song for it to work in karaoke.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't half-ass it.
Yep.
My go-to, unsurprisingly, is Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield.
Yeah.
Which is an extremely high cardio song, if you're doing it right.
Yep.
Because the chorus, you're just scream singing, feel that rain on your skin, no one else
can do it.
And everyone gets really hyped.
Yeah.
If you're of a certain generation, if you're millennial, basically, everyone's like, ah! And then they're on the seats and they're jumping around. And then you finish the first chorus and you're like, I am unwritten. Sometimes my life. And it's so exhausting. So I like will usually start there and then have to have a sit down for about five other songs.
Which is also part of the whole, I mean, it's part of the performance is watching Ashley get a little exhausted halfway through. It's pretty fun.
The same thing happened to my friend Grant. Another Grant mention.
Yep.
I don't think he listens to this podcast, which is hilarious.
I texted him. I said he was mentioned and celebrated in the last episode concerning his John Wick reactions.
Oh, yes. And I mentioned
And he said, great, I'll listen, has not responded. That was like 3 days ago.
He's never gonna listen.
Fuck, dude. It's a fun podcast. he probably doesn't listen to podcasts.
But he did Shoop. He picked Shoop because I had a karaoke birthday, my last birthday.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I think after the first verse and chorus, he had to sit down. Because we're all, you know, we're all millennials. We're all in our 30s.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be going up here.
Yep.
Doing raps, shooping as if we have the energy of a 20-year-old.
Yep. And I'm not saying Grant did this, but it's very easy to underestimate rap songs. Like, you think just because you know most of a rap song in your car, like, you'll be able to nail it in karaoke, depending on the song, because some of them are easy to rap.
But you're performing, though.
There's a lot of stuff. Like any Stevie Wonder song is really hard to sing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of, a lot of Queen is like, holy shit, you know? I went through a period of doing the British band Darkness is a thing called Love, because people forget about, like, I know it's just a pop hit, but people forget how it fucking slaps.
It's great.
And, but I can't hit the high notes anymore. In my 20s, I crushed them. And now I've come down. Can you imagine how high my voice was in my 20s? Nobody's overwhelmed by the masculinity of the bass of my voice right now. But anyway.
Now you have a nice
voice. I do have a nice voice, actually.
You have a nice voice.
I do like my voice. I'm glad. Yeah. Thanks, honey. I appreciate that.
My friend Arissa did Poor Unfortunate Souls from Little Mermaid, which was a great choice.
That was the perfect call for that room too. Like, yes. I haven't seen what was her name again? Sorry.
Arissa
murdered a bunch of songs in a row that were, I think, were all of that ilk, right?
Yeah, she kind of opened, you know, there's a moment where someone chooses a musical song, then the floodgates open and everyone does musicals.
Depending on the room. That's right.
On the room.
And this was that kind of room,
and
baby.
This was that kind of room. So it kind of started a musical train, which ended up being great. But yeah, it was an incredible, I would never have guessed that song as being a karaoke banger.
Yes.
But she like got up and like, you know, she acted it. She performed
did.
It.
That's right. She fucking, she meant it.
She meant it.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Feel the rain on your skin.
Beautiful, honey.
Thanks. I was just trying to fill the silence.
Amazing.
That's what happens in my head anytime there's quiet.
You hear Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten.
Mm-hmm. Like, there isn't any rain. Stop screaming at me.
Okay. Question from Octavia again. Advice on comedy, Mort. What's the best way to use your life experiences to make others laugh? Ooh. I know I have the content, but how do you figure out your line of too dark or dark and funny?
Oh, I love this. Man, it totally depends on the medium, and it depends on who you are and what you can get away with. I really think that. Like, I was talking to a comic the other day, and she's like this. She's maybe like late 20s, early 30s, and I was talking about like, you could tell she has a good heart. And I'm talking about stand-up, which again is different, but it's like, she just can kind of get away with most stuff. Like, she says stuff in a way that you know, there's no hatred there, you know? So she can get, and there's been a period in stand-up where like, assholes can just get away with anything and everybody loves it because that was the way culture was swinging. That shit's about to change. I'm very grateful for that. Mm. So it depends, because some people, their whole genre is darkness. And how dark can I go? You know what I mean? Whether it's like your Jim Nortons or whatever. So it's a beautiful question that is a very nuanced answer because it's kind of an art form. That's almost the big question is like, what can you get away with? I would ask, is Octavia asking for herself? She says she's got the content.
She has been doing stand-up.
She's been doing stand-up. Cool. Oh, cool. That's awesome. When did she start?
She did a roast at her granddad's 90th birthday party.
Oh, did she rip on him for being fucking old?
Hell yeah.
Old as shit.
Yeah, look at this fucking ancient.
God, this mummy.
Exactly.
Corpse walking.
Mm, his birth certificate was on the fucking sea scrolls. It was in hieroglyphics.
It's on the tabula rasa.
Yeah, exactly. His blood type is motor oil.
Hey, did you meet Jesus? What was he like? Because you're so old, you probably met Jesus, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I right?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
His first wife couldn't make it. She was a T-Rex who died. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Did she do stuff like that? So it sounds like that was her first time doing it. Has she been doing it since? Has she been doing like mic? Did she say open mics and stuff?
Octavia says she wants to do stand-up.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Great.
I guess part of that is seeing how the audience responds too, hey?
For sure. And
which is why stand-up is so terrifying.
And I wonder do we know where she lives?
She lives in Canada.
She lives in Canada. So here's what I'd do if I was her. Go check out a series of open mics. Invariably, for some reason, when you start doing stand-up, you end up at the worst, most toxic, sad open mic there is. And you are like, all of stand-up is bad. This is terrible. But if you go and just check out a few open mics, get a feel of the room, and find out which ones are kind of cool and supportive, often there are women-only open mics, which I would recommend, or LGBT-friendly open mics. And those just tend to be a little bit, like, smarter and a little bit less, like, shocky for no reason, you know? And also often a little bit more generous in their support. I would try to find one like that. Go check that shit out. And yeah, and then just trot your material up, have low expectations for yourself. You're not supposed to be good right away. It is a challenging thing. If you get on stage, that is the win.
That's good advice, honey.
Thanks. And you could do it. And we need more women and non-binary folks in stand-up. It's important.
And feel the rain on your skin. Because no one else can feel it for you.
They can't.
Only you
can let it in.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, you can try and force others to feel it for you, but it
doesn't work. Mm-mm.
Should we do one more question?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is the last one. So dig deep, y'all.
Oh, well, now you're making me choose because there's two, Ashley.
Maybe we can do two quick ones.
We can do two. We can do
two quick ones, yeah.
Okay. Vaus, I'm really sorry Vaus. I'm saying the name wrong.
Yeah. Danish lightning god, Vaus.
Yeah. May have missed this being asked previously, but what is the love story origin for Mortley? How did they become?
Mortley?
Oh, Mortley.
We got a couple name now.
Yeah, that's our celebrity. Got one of our
Nice.
That's our most pronounceable celebrity.
Mortley?
Yeah, I've stopped doing the celeb nickname recommendations in the bios. Maybe I'll start again.
Mortley's good. I like that.
Cute. Would you like to tell that story, honey?
So I was hanging out with one of my very close friends, also friends with her brother, Andy, and Mort was friends with Andy, and I was at Andy's place, and we were playing The Last Guardian. Is that what it's called? It's the game where you have a buddy that's like kind of a cat, kind of a dog, and kind of a bird.
Mm.
I think it's The Last Guardian. And Mort came over, and he was making jokes about the game, and he was like, oh, this this cat's feet bum me out.
Yeah, I was like, I hate these birds. This bird's feet are such a bummer.
They're such a bummer. And I thought that was really funny.
They were especially weird.
And Andy had always talked you up and said how great you were and stuff like that.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. So I kind of knew about you before you showed up.
Uh-huh.
I said, I wonder if I'll have a crush on this guy.
This is funny. I didn't up until now, I didn't realize, was he sort of playing matchmaker?
I don't know. I think he just loved you.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
He also really, like, when we first started dating, he was like, you better be nice to her. And I was like, yeah, 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 totally. I'll tell you this. He said, or I'll break your legs. That's what he said.
And no, he didn't.
Yes, he did. But, he didn't. Well, it's not like literally. He wasn't threatening me like a fucking, like the Godfather or something. But he was like, be nice to her. Which is kind of fair if you like introduce a friend to a girl that you're friends with. Because if I would have like treated Ashley shitty, it would have made everything real crappy. She would have been like, what the fuck, Andrew? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. I see where he was going.
Sure, sure. That's, yeah. I did not know he said that. That's very
Yeah,
that's
I wasn't funny. Planning on treating you badly, by the
no,
way.
No, no. And you haven't, huh?
I have.
And you never have.
Yeah, no, no.
But Mort didn't like, or didn't have eyes for me initially. He liked my roommate.
Yeah, this is the story, the part of the story I'll never live down.
Nope. Never live down.
Which, did I ask her out or not? I think I...
No.
I didn't?
No, because I went to her and I was like, are you interested in this guy? And she said no. And I was like, okay, I'm going to ask him out.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah, so Ashley asked me out, which is...
Yeah, because I'm a modern woman.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was a real Eat, Pray, Love.
Eat, Pray,
the,
Love.
The Devil Wears Prada, Get Your Groove Back, Woman Empowerment Story.
Why was Eat, Pray, Love the first one?
I don't know. I've never read it. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I won't let him live it down though, because I won't.
I don't often know what's great for me, you know. And then it was kind of great because, well, we might as well tell the whole thing where the second date was.
Well, our first date was great.
Our first date was amazing, and that was kind of nice because I was like, you had asked me out, so it was sort of like it was really chill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we got along very easily and very, very naturally, which is yes. Like after that date, I was like, oh, that was great.
Yeah. And then our second date was terrible.
Yeah.
Mort was in a terrible mood.
Yeah.
He was really grumpy, I think. At dinner, he ate too much, and then he ate a big ol' vat of popcorn at a movie that we saw and got a really bad tummy ache.
Yeah. I was experiencing clinical depression. I was eating my feelings. And it was probably like a half a stick of butter's worth of butter on that fucking popcorn. I remember distinctly. And we saw the Lego movie, right?
We saw Lego Batman.
Right.
Yes.
It was Lego Batman. Is that
Lego
the
Batman.
Is that the one that has everything is awesome in it?
No, that's the Lego movie.
I thought we saw the Lego movie.
No, we saw Lego Batman.
We saw Lego Batman?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And we got back to your place and you you had an achy tummy and I went and got you Pepto-Bismol.
Ah, you did?
And I think so. That's I think nice. I did. Or you had some in your house and I just gave it to you. I don't know.
Yeah, for the consistent popcorn consumption. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I remember there was one night I was staying over at your place. We'd been dating not super long. Not super long at all, actually. And I woke up with a UTI. And I was in a lot of pain. It was like 3 a.m. and you were immediately like, let's take you to the urgent care. Like, no question. You were just like up. And you were like, let's go. And I was like, are you sure? And you're like, yeah. And we like went to the urgent care in Hollywood at like 3 a.m. And you sat with me and talked to the doctor with me and the whole thing. And then afterward, you were like, let's go get your prescription filled. And I was like, I don't think CVS is open. But you were just like ready and down.
And we did. I was like, I know where we can find a 24-hour CVS.
Oh, that's right. And we did.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's really nice.
Yeah, I'm really nice. And I hate UTIs. Like, you're like, we can just wait till morning. I was like, not in my house. This urinary tract will not be infected.
I'd be concerned if you loved UTIs.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's way worse. I was like, ooh, nice.
Ah, perfect. My kink.
Yeah, and apparently I was saying the name wrong. It's Vors.
Vors.
Yeah. Last question.
Okay, let's do it.
From William, Ninth Grade Taco. Have you ever read, watched, or listened to something, literally anything, and afterwards just gone, what the hell?
Excellent question. There's a movie called Enemy that is like indie budget, kind of a thriller, and I won't say what happens at the end of it, but something very unexpected happens at the end, and I sat through the entire credits. I'll do an impression, which this is only going to be audio, unfortunately, but I sat looking like this the entire credits. full mouth agape for like four whatever that is, like 6-10 minutes. I don't know that. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I thought it was a good movie, but I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, you know what my answer is? Is us seeing Cats?
Sure.
We saw Cats in theaters, the Rowdy screening. And this is before they did the, I think they did a re-release where they changed some of the CG, not enough. But this was one of the early showings where there were just like human hands attached to.
Yeah.
Attached to CGI cats because they just forgot. Like the ending, Judi Dench is just gesturing with her very obvious human hand. She has her wedding ring on still.
Yes. And it would like kind of turn back and forth sometimes from like a cat hand to a human hand.
Yep.
Oof.
Yeah, that was, cause like, you know, we'd heard stories, but, I was not prepared for just how excruciating that experience was going to be.
Yeah.
I think the Rebel Wilson song, is maybe one of the worst things ever committed to film.
Mm.
It's truly the stuff of nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have a picture actually, cause I looked over and we went with a bunch of friends and everyone's mouth was hanging open. It wasn't even like, oh, this is funny. It was like, we're all witnessing a mass tragedy right now.
Yep.
We're like stuck in our seats having to witness the fall of Rome.
I had a lot of reactions to Cats.
You had a lot of reactions to Cats.
I had rage.
Mm-hmm.
I also had compassion. Had empathy because I was like, this is poor Reba and Idris. They were not trying. You know what I mean?
I felt bad for the lead.
Yeah.
It was like her first, she's like a ballet dancer, was her first movie, I
right,
think.
And there was somebody that had a solo where they were like, just giving it 110, and there was nothing that, like.
Oh, dude, they fucking, Jennifer Hudson.
Yes.
Was doing Memories.
That's who I felt bad for.
Because they let her sing the song, snot dripping down her face and big old globs, and they left that shit in.
Snot.
It's like, you're gonna CG the entire movie? Well, not all the entire movie because they left Judi Dench's hand in, but you're going to do that and let Jennifer Hudson just live her life? Her face was as big as a building.
I think they added snot in CG. It was
an egregious, it was like she had a sinus infection.
And everything else she was doing was wonderful.
I mean, she did she's a beautiful voice.
She's an incredible performer, and I was like, this is an actor's nightmare.
They did her so dirty.
Yeah.
They did her so dirty.
Mm-hmm. Which I can't help but wonder if that was like weird corporate fucking like CEOs getting their fingers in the mix and being like,
more snot?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be sadder. Just like is the deeply, it was like so artless that I can't imagine a person who had experience with filmmaking would ever think that that would be a good idea.
That movie managed to make Idris Elba unattractive.
Yeah.
You know how hard you have to work to make Idris Elba unattractive?
Yep. It's like trying to make me unattractive.
It's true. Not,
you can't do it.
Can't do it. Do we do it?
Yeah, I feel great. Where are we at here?
Let's track the whack. Where are you at?
Oh, whack wise? I feel like I'm wacky at about like a 6 again, which I think this has been a pretty steady episode as far as my wacky meter.
Okay, great.
Yeah, which I think is fun.
I love that. Danny, thank you for, as always, being the docent for this goofy little podcast.
Yeah, and thank you to William Ninth Grade Taco. Maybe William Ninth Grade Taco should be a character in the RPG game since he's in ninth grade. Maybe he can help.
Oh, that's true.
The younger people.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And thank you
to Vaus
and Octavia.
Octavia. Thank you to everyone.
I pronounce it like a trashy Midwesterner. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time.
I'll just remind you.
Yeah, thanks.
Where can the people find us, dear?
You can find us on Instagram at RebrandThePod. Danny's been cooking up tons of hot reels and stuff, some of which are really popping off, so thanks for your support. You can find us on our Patreon at RebrandThePodcast. And when you join our Patreon, you can do stuff like ask us questions, as people did in this episode, and made it so deeply fun, and you get to support the podcast for $5 a month. Also, follow me on Instagram at Mort Burke. I'm doing all kinds of fun sketches and stuff. And follow Ashley, too, Ashley Birch.
Yeah, and watch I'm Happy You're Here on YouTube. Danny, where can the people find you?
On Instagram, Danny Leocht.
L-E-I-G-H. Is it all one word?
It's D-A-N-I-E-L-E-I-G-H. Yep. Art.
Yep.
One word.
And if you feel so inclined, go to one of these, you know, Apple or whatever, leave us a review. Tell us track your whack. Where's your whack at?
Yeah. Let us know where your silly meter's standing these days.
Yeah, you at the screwball end? What's going on with you? Anyway, we love you. Goodbye.
Rebrand.
Rebrand.